T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A little after 5 o'clock here on The Fan, Evan and Tiki. We'll find out why athletes have become so dirty over the last couple of days in a few minutes. But first, it is your Cinco de Five-O.
Cinco de Five-O with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. All right, we've begun our Halloween countdown here on Cinco. Here are, in my opinion, the top 5 WFAN Halloween costume ideas.
Oh.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Al Dukes. Very tight jeans, bald head cap, dog leash, turkey sandwich.
A nice round ass.
Here we go.
What's he dressing up as?
That would be dressing up as Al. What you gonna do?
Oh, I got it.
Here we go.
Number 4.
This one's a little easy, so I'm gonna grump. What do you call it?
Group it.
I think you're both right.
Yes.
Boomer Ortiki. Look, you throw on their football jersey, you walk through, everybody's gonna know who you're doing, right? Easy. Little lazy, easy, but easy
Boomer
to pull.
Boomer Esiason.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Number 3.
Chris McMonagle. Very simple. Wear a visor and take a picture of Brian Cashman and glue it to your ass.
Suck it!
Everybody will know who you are. Here we go.
Number 2.
Evan Roberts. Simple. Find any sweatshirt in your house, stain
it. I'm a loser.
Carry around a scorebook and just get a red hair wig.
I'm a loser.
It's not bad.
All right, and last but not least.
Number 1.
No longer here, but it's iconic. It's Mike Francesa. The under-the-chin earphones, a Diet Coke, gray slick back wig. Mike, I think, is still the most iconic Halloween.
You're boring me to tears with this. I'm sorry. Nope. I can't go on.
No question. Do you remember I dressed as you once for Halloween?
Did you?
First year.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah. I still have pictures of it in my phone. I put on a giant jersey. I put on a bald cap to make myself bald. And I squeaked about the Giants.
Why don't you dress like that Sunday?
Dress as you to go to the Giants game?
Yeah. People get confused. They're like, they're two Sean's.
The Spider-Man meme on the internet.
It's Halloween weekend?
Huh? It's not a bad idea. We have that giant jersey I could wear that says Lugash.
Yeah.
For Lugash debate series.
And then if you know, you know.
That's right. So I put on a bald wig, or the bald cap, if you will, wear the giant Lugash debate series jersey, and I'm good to go. And I squeak about the Giants the whole game.
It's not bad.
Holy God!
You've been very concerned about what to wear Sunday. There you go.
All right, I like it. Thank you, Sean.
All right.
I don't know if anyone's noticed this, but over the last 48 hours, and I'm going to give you three examples of this. Three examples, all in the last 48 hours, mm-hmm. of athletes hearing a question or a comment and immediately jumping to a dirty-ish conclusion.
What do you mean dirty? Like dirty mind?
Let me try to give you example number one. If you don't mind flipping it real quick, Tommy. Let's start with the Bam Adebayo one. So Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat last night is being interviewed after the game. Uh-huh. And the question that was asked came out a little bit awkward. Take a listen.
Before you run, is Tyler Hero over there slobbering on the bench, salivating, waiting to be a part of this offensive run?
Oh, I don't know where you was going with that one.
Welcome to my world, Bam. Welcome to my world.
So there's example number one of something just coming out
way. That was kind of, yes, you're talking about, but that wasn't the athlete.
That was Bam Adebayo.
That was the interviewer, though.
Yes, the athlete responding to it with their brain going into a dirtier place.
Yeah, but the interviewer's mind was in a dirty place.
No, he wasn't. He was trying to say that Tyler Hero was salivating over being in the Heat offense.
But why did he say slobbering?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Like, when do you ever use that term?
Here's example number two. This was after the extra inning game. Mookie Betts was asked about his fantasies.
When you go to bed tonight, put your head on the pillow tonight, what will you think about Shohei? Will you think about Freddie? What jumps out at you?
I'm probably not going to think about another man while I'm in bed.
Fair enough.
This is all the media's fault.
How about when you get home and you think about this game? Why, when you get in bed tonight? Like, say, what the hell is he talking about?
It came out the wrong way, you're saying?
No, it's just, why are you even going there?
I think he was trying to say when your head's on the pillow tonight and you're thinking about your day, okay, are you going to think about Ohtani?
Do you think about your day when your head's on the pillow?
Every night.
Do you think about your day when you get home and you've, like, chilled out and relaxed and had a whiskey or something?
Yeah, sometimes when my head's on the pillow. I think of you sometimes in bed.
No, you don't.
Not in that regard, but yeah. Anyhow, those are two examples. Would you like a third example?
Yes.
This may have been my favorite one. This was last night, and this is actually two New York basketball legends. This is Vince Carter talking to Carmelo Anthony.
For me, I've played kind of recently, right? So I understood the mentality of the load management. Yep. I understood the conversation and the dialogue.
But did you enjoy it when they tried to manage your load?
No, because I'm I was different.
We're all different up here.
It's late.
Huh?
Melo had the best response of them all. Huh? And that was poor Vince. You know, Vince is, just trying to ask a question.
Huh? Huh?
I know what Vince was trying to say. Like, did it bother you when they were trying to manage your load management?
Yeah.
By the way, I got to get something off my chest. I already got the Babe Ruth thing off my chest.
Yes.
In which
is
I made clear.
Another rant?
Yeah, I'm going to try to be calmer about this one.
Okay.
Because this one is going to be so unpopular, so I have to be really careful. I am going to make the old people really pissed off right now.
Mm.
Michael Jordan.
Old people like me.
I don't know. I don't know how you're going to take this.
Okay, let's go.
But the older basketball fan usually doesn't like some of my opinions. Like the other day I said the NBA is in a golden age, which I believe. The sport's better than it's ever been. Anyhow, Michael Jordan, in his NBA on NBC long-form interview, in which they aired cuts of it, was asked about load management. And it was very expected. Jordan looked down on it. I didn't do that. In my day, I played. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And the thing I'm starting to find obnoxious about the Michael Jordan era, and even the mid-2000s era, is that you didn't play modern-day basketball. And that's not a knock on Michael, but the pace of that sport was far different than the pace of today's sport.
Mm.
The pace in 1998, Michael Jordan's last real year of being iconic, the average pace, and this is really possessions per 48 minutes, the average pace was 93.6. The team with the slowest pace in the NBA right now is at about 98.
Hmm.
Okay? Wow. The highest pace is 103. So the pace of the sport is different.
Right,
so you're running up and down the court every 5 seconds.
Yeah, but that sounds
it's not
it's
the
only,
same.
It sounds like it's only 10 or so more possessions.
Yeah, but you know how much that adds up? Like, watch this sport of today versus 1998. There's a lot of walking up the court.
Mm.
Now there is constant running and constant transition. Like, it is a different sport. It takes a different physicality to play this sport today. So to compare yourself, and this isn't even Michael's fault because he's asked about it, but to ask about, well, you didn't do it. What about the guys of today? It's different.
Yeah, no, it's not the same. It's not apples to apples comparison. But I wonder if Michael Jordan was playing in this era, if he would ask for or need load management?
Well, first of all,
would he want it, or would he just play?
That's the other misnomer.
Because
players aren't asking for it, as Vince Carter laid out to Mello. Organizations are telling them this, which is far different.
Yeah, this is the advanced and metrics or measurements of your movement, right? I know football players, they have those trackers, GPS trackers in their pads, so they know how much they've run. And it informs the coach, all right, you're about to pull a hamstring, and you've run too much, and so it changes the way that you can prepare or practice or even play. And if I was playing in this era, that would frustrate me. And I think that's all Michael Jordan is saying. It would frustrate me for you to tell me how much more I have left, because you don't know. You haven't walked in my shoes. You haven't trained with me. You don't know. I know advanced analytics and expectations based on those analytics can maybe be informative, but you don't know.
No, I get that.
So I think that's all he's getting at, is that how can you tell me that I can't go do something?
But we also don't know if he was going to be able to do that. It's a different sport.
True.
Like, this sport is so different in 2020. I'm not even saying it's better anymore. That's for everyone to interpret and decide. Mm-hmm. But it's just not the same. And so whenever we go back to these old tropes, these old arguments of what would Michael Jordan say about it, Michael Jordan was playing a different sport.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he wouldn't like it. To your point, Jordan's a competitor. I'm sure he wouldn't like it, but he would also be running up and down the court a hell of a lot more than he did.
Well, I know that.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate, with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
When he was still playing at a high level, like, Russell Westbrook didn't like it. Kevin Durant didn't like it.
Well, players don't like it.
Of course, they hate it. They want to play ball. That's what they're paid to do. That's how they make names for themselves.
But that's
By being ballers.
But that's the misnomer of load management, that it's the players walking around saying, I need a day off. That's not what it is. It's the organizations making that decision.
Right.
And so how would that headbutting have worked if an organization told Michael Jordan, in this day and age, you need to sit a couple of days? I'm sure they wouldn't have liked it. No. And I'm sure a lot of players today don't even like it. Like, you heard Mello. He doesn't like his load being managed.
Right.
Let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stuart in East Hampton. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, Evan. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I understand there's 10 more possessions or something per game. But, I mean, the defense that these guys play today is non-existent. I mean, those guys that played actual defense, and that takes a lot more toll on your body than just standing there letting the guy go to the basket. So it kind of all evens out. So I don't buy the possession.
There was definitely more physicality, but I don't know if it all evens out. I mean, you are also playing a high-paced game today where you were running up and down the court, which you didn't really do as much 25 years ago. Peter and Roslyn, what's up, Peter?
Hey, Peter.
Hey, just real quickly, my issue with the argument is this. How many videos on Instagram and everything have we seen of former athletes saying, hey, you know, before the playoff game, I went out and played 18 with Jordan. Then he wanted to run it back. We played 36. We had a bag of beers. And then he went out and dropped 50. There's no way you could tell me that extra possessions wouldn't mean anything to Michael Jordan.
Well,
all I got to say.
It may not have meant anything to him, but I don't know how his performance would have been if he was playing 40 minutes a night on back-to-back nights.
Well, and playing that pace.
And playing at that kind of pace. Let's go to Bobby in Babylon. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Evan, how you doing? Just a few points. I can't wait for a few weeks for you to have the discussion with Tommy about Ohtani. But Ohtani DH 158 games this year.
Right.
When Babe Ruth played, there was no DH.
Right.
Also, if you look at the disparity between Babe Ruth's lifetime batting average and Ohtani, I think it's like 58 points. And it's 90 points with on-base percentage.
I wasn't arguing who the better player was. I was simply pointing out, which is a fact, that he didn't do both as much as Ohtani has. Now, you're right that Ohtani has the designated hitter, but Babe Ruth gave up pitching basically at the age of 24.
Yeah.
And is that his fault, or was it the Red Sox and then Yankees' fault? I mean, sure. They didn't think he could do both.
I bet it was an old-school mentality. Like, you're not doing both. No,
right.
No one's ever done this, so we're not letting you do
this. But to me, the argument isn't, could he have done it? He may have been able to do it.
I'm sure
he
could have.
He didn't do it, though, is my point.
Right. So when the comparisons always come out, this is Ohtani being the first dual player, you know, both sides player since Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth didn't actually do it, especially not at a high and consistent level
like
Shohei Ohtani has been doing.
He essentially did it for about a year and a half during the regular season.
Yeah.
He did not do it in the World Series. They chose not to. Now, he was great in the World Series in 1915 and 1916 and 1918. I mentioned he had that consecutive scoreless streak. But they weren't doing this. Now, yes, they didn't have a DH. They would have asked Babe Ruth to play a position. God bless you. But he didn't do it. That's my only point. I think Babe Ruth is the greatest of all time. That's why I even said to Tommy, when we have this argument, it's probably fairer to not include him and just make it guys we've ever seen. Because when you start to bring in the likes of Babe Ruth or even Willie Mays or Jackie Robinson or Ty Cobb, like you get down to this area of, well, I didn't see him. I don't know. So it's probably a better best player I've ever seen kind of discussion, which I'm already starting to think about.
Yeah, and I'm tired of hearing about the DH stuff. I forgot who it was, but somebody hit a crazy comeback to Ohtani. He fielded it perfectly, ran over to first base. If you could pitch and you could hit at his level, you could play first base.
But he's not.
I think, you know what? Here's the flex. If you're listening, get this to him. He should just play first base next year so that people will shut up with this DH thing. This idea that he can't play the field is ridiculous. Like,
well, he did. There have been some DHs. He used to play the field. It would be 20 games a year.
Right, but
now he doesn't do it at all.
I guess we're going to. I don't want to have the full argument here, but he is capable
of playing
the field.
Tommy.
No one else in baseball is capable of pitching and hitting.
Forget about capable or what he could do, what he should do. Last year, you argued passionately that Francisco Lindor was the MVP of the National League.
I was way ahead of that, yep.
A part of your argument was Ohtani's a DH. Never once did I hear you say, well, he could play left field or he could play first base. So that's irrelevant. And a year ago when you were arguing for Lindor, I never once heard you say what Ohtani was capable of doing.
Okay, that's fair, especially because Lindor, part of his MVP candidacy was being great at shortstop.
Yeah.
But I don't like hearing this DH stuff with Ohtani because I think that if he was given an opportunity to play the field, he would play it, and he would probably be more than adequate at it.
You should have used that argument against yourself last year.
Well, I'm pushing for the positive Tommy Lindor to be the MVP.
So you're admitting you were biased in your opinion?
No, not really. I was ahead of the curve on that. But
no, but you weren't, because if you were ahead of the curve, you would have used the argument you're using for Ohtani then that you're using now, which is, he's a DH, but he's capable of it.
You know what? You bring that up. I need to get Dan on the case here because I don't remember specifically bringing up the DH stuff. Maybe I did, but you're just flippingly saying that.
The main argument you used was Lindor plays the field every day and Ohtani doesn't. That was the biggest argument of him being the MVP last year.
Well, Ohtani wasn't pitching at the time. Now he's pitching. So had he been pitching last year, I think I would have let the DH stuff slide. Seriously.
How many innings would Ohtani had to have pitched last year for you to say he was the MVP over Lindor?
50 to 75. I think that's a fair number.
That's fine. Yeah. That may be the answer.
Because I think that takes out the fielding stuff. If you're pitching 75 innings.
Yeah, you're defensively contributing.
Right.
It's a great question. Honestly, I don't know the answer to it. If Ohtani is a full-time DH versus an all-around player, we did the Judge argument earlier this year or Lindor last year, how many innings do you need to pitch to cancel out all the innings of defense the other player plays?
Right.
I don't know, there's no answer to that.
Don't they have defensive war?
They do, but is that really what you're going to rely on?
No, it's not, but at least it gives you a starting point.
Right.
It's just something to look at as opposed to just guessing.
Would you rather have 150 games of Gold Glove defense at shortstop or 20 starts that gets to about 105 innings? What would you rather have? Along with the same bat, right? We'll just say the bats are both great. It's fantastic. Would you rather have 150 games of great defense? You know what? I got the answer. Sean, you're a Yankee fan. You have it. Yeah. Aaron Judge next year and Ohtani are going to put up the same numbers offensively. They're both brilliant, right? Amazing. Judge will play 150 games and play Gold Glove defense in right field. You've seen it. You've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus no defense, but I'll get you 75 innings from a starting pitcher that makes 14 starts. Offense is the same. What do you take?
I think it's close. I lean the defense because I can get the pitching elsewhere. I've seen some really crappy Yankee defense. I've seen some good pitching. By the way, that might just be a Yankee answer, though. You know what I mean?
Because you know I'm asking about Judge? Because you know that's what this is?
No. I mean in terms of, I got Gerrit Cole. I got Max Fried. Do I need another guy like that, or would I rather have the Gold Glove defense on a team that has sucked defensively?
Interesting. I think I'd take the 15 starts. Like, you give me half the season as a starting pitcher, I think I'd sign for
it. I'm with you on that.
You're impacting half the games at a major level, because when you're pitching, you're impacting a game much more than a guy who plays great defense for the three or four plays he makes.
Right, and also, too, when it gets to the playoffs, I'd rather have that pitcher than that great fielder at shortstop. Because I think he could win a game literally pitching. You know what I mean? Where he might not impact the game as a shortstop.
This is what's so funny about the Ohtani discussion. When we were arguing the best player in baseball back in April, May, and June, you guys frustrated me. Because it was so obviously Aaron Judge, and I thought it was stupid to bring up anything else. Now that Ohtani has leveled this playing field by pitching, it's a freaking great argument. But at the time when it was just offense and Judge playing defense and Ohtani not playing defense, I never thought it was close.
That's why Judge won the MVP over him when he was in the American League. It just Judge was a better player.
Right, he is. But when you add the pitching element, obviously it's a game changer. Let's go to Chris in Westport. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Evan, if I didn't know better, I think you were just trolling people on that take about Jordan.
Why?
I mean, that's because, look at it this way, and I know I'm not going to compare errors about which era had better players, who's the athletes. Their athletes are better today, and they're better for a reason. They get better sleep. They have better nutrition. They have better trainers. They have better travel. They have load management. They're not afraid to take the ball to the hoop. You take your life into your hands in the 80s and 90s taking the ball to the hoop. Physicality. When Jordan was playing, pace of game, it's a 48-minute game. Players play 38 or 40 minutes. Dead balls. There's timeouts. There's TV timeouts. These guys are finally tuned athletes. Don't tell me pace of game is going to take more out of you than the physicality from the. I mean, they used to put an arm bar in the back of a player. You can't even hand check anybody anymore.
It's a different. Different sport. So when Jordan, we agree on that. It's a different sport. So when Jordan talks about, in my day, we would never go for that, or the guy in the upper deck needs to see me, can we at least admit, and you bring up the physicality, which I can't argue, of course it was more physical in the 80s and 90s. They allowed more.
Yeah.
But we're also seeing a pace that is far different than 25 years ago. So I don't want to hear the same old answer of, well, the guy in the last row wanted to see me. It's a different sport. I don't know how his body would have responded to playing in this modern NBA as compared to 25 years ago. Neither do you. Neither do I. You happen to think the physicality.
Based on a few more possessions in a game?
Yeah, but
players today are fast, they're lean, they can jump, they fly around. They are better athletes than they were because they're more fit.
But Chris,
10 more possessions should not bother a finely tuned athlete.
Framing it as 10 more possessions as if it's not a big deal. It's no difference. I don't think it's fair. Look at the pace of the sport in general. The speed of the sport, the back and forth of the sport, it's just so different.
Yeah.
And to minimize that, and I don't want to minimize the physicality. I'm trying not to, because you're right. Like, I agree. Of course it was more physical. They allowed hand check. They don't allow half the crap now. I get that.
Look, the reality, you just can't compare over errors. I know it's the trendy thing to do. It's the whole Michael Jordan versus LeBron debate. It's over different, completely different errors. You can't compare it.
So who's comparing it? Is it me or is it Jordan? Because it sounds like it's Jordan. It sounds like when it's brought up to Michael, can you believe these kids today?
I think Jordan
he's the one being asked.
He's just answering the question as it was asked to him. So should he say, yeah, it's just today's game? Or should he say what he knows, which is I would never have gone for that. Mm-hmm. And if it was brought up to him back then, I'm sure he would not have gone for it.
Mike's on Long Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Ev, what's the goal of the game? 27 outs, right?
Yes.
Okay. How many put-outs does Judge have annually and outfield assists compared to strikeouts from Ohtani?
That's a great question. I've never looked at how many, like, outfield put-outs Aaron Judge has in the season, but now I'm, like, curious to look. So is this point going to prove, what is it going to prove in your mind? I have the answer,
that
by the way.
Judge's defense outweighs Ohtani's pitching ability.
So let's go to 2024, all right? He ended up with 279 putouts. You can't equate, though, catching a fly ball in right field to striking a batter out. That doesn't work either. Because, help me out with the math here. If you throw 100 innings, you recorded how many outs? If you throw 100 innings, so it's 3 outs an inning.
Wouldn't it be 300 outs?
That'd be 300 outs.
Yeah.
So if you throw 100 innings, you get 300 outs. Aaron Judge, over the course of a full season, is probably going to get about 250, 260 outs.
So it's Ohtani. It's the pitcher.
Yeah, so actually he proved
by a landslide, but see, by 50 more outs.
This is getting like really nerdy, but it's not about out to out.
I didn't bring it up, the caller did.
Because when you're pitching, you're taking a look at how many runs are you giving up. You know what I mean? It becomes very convoluted. And honestly, the moral of the story, this is why you need the Giants and Jets to get good.
Yes,
because
exactly.
We can't be debating this.
Debating a non-debatable topic.
It really is it's impossible to debate.
There's no win to it.
But our last caller at least tried. I give him credit. He came up with something. He said, how many outs does Aaron Judge record versus Shohei Ohtani? And then we look it up and we realize he just proved the other point. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite part of it. He came up with something and it was the complete opposite.
Circular arguments are frustrating.
Ah, yes. I know. We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Plus, we find out who removed all the fun stuff from the Baltimore Ravens locker room, and it was kind of surprising. I still can't believe the Jets actually had the gall to raise ticket prices on season ticket holders for about half the building. About half the building. So I didn't get a raise, but I think a lot of people did, and that's embarrassing. They finally win a football game. They've been a dumpster franchise for years. And in late October, even before we're at the halfway point of the season, they have the gall to tell their customers, we're going to raise ticket prices.
Same old Jets.
But
they just won.
I know, but okay, who cares?
They do.
They thought this was a good time, like off a win. It'll ease the pain of raising ticket prices.
Oh, the pain.
It's embarrassing. Real quick, before we get back to your calls, a lot on the table today, talking about pace of play, Michael Jordan complaining about players that sit, Ohtani as the greatest possibly of all time, the World Series tonight. We've talked a lot about Giannis and the Knicks earlier in the show. The other day it came out that the Ravens were taking away all the fun stuff in the locker room.
Yeah.
Ping pong tables and whatnot, a bunch of different things. Mm. It was revealed yesterday that the architect behind pulling all this stuff was Lamar Jackson himself.
Good for Lamar. Taking control.
Here is Lamar Jackson explaining his decision.
Our head equipment guy told him to take all the games and ping pong, turn the TVs off. If we could have took the TVs out, they would have been out too, but I appreciate Mr. Steve for putting that in there for us, you know, but yeah, we had to focus. I wouldn't say people don't take the job serious, don't get me wrong, but like, I didn't feel like it was the time for that. You know, we got a lot of work. We got a lot of work to do.
It's going to take
to get back in. Keep winning. Because we're not going to have them the rest of the year, so keep winning. probably have them next year, summertime, OTAs or something. But right now, that's not the focus.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, good for him. Look, ultimately, he's right. When the locker room has all that stuff in it, it's great because it keeps you in the locker room. Like, you don't want to go home and leave. You want to be around your teammates, and there's a camaraderie and a companionship that happens that's critical, I think, to good performing teams. But it also can become a distraction if you're watching television all the time, or you're playing video games, or ping pong, or whatever it may be. And so it's smart to just get rid of it so that the main thing becomes the only thing. And focusing on football becomes the only thing you're worried about. If you're winning and it's not distracting you, who cares?
You know what's funny?
And by the way, it's probably not the reason.
Of course not.
They're playing poorly, but it doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt.
To force everyone to now focus solely on football.
Earlier in the show, I told you we've done a lot of things today. We were playing Dexter Lawrence's response to Carl Banks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dexter was giving his opinion on Carl's criticisms. And in the background, you could hear a ping pong table. Did you notice that?
I did not.
Did you notice that, Sean?
Of course I noticed it.
Oh, it's got to go.
I mean, don't you think it should go? The reason, look, it probably means nothing to your point, Teague, but when Lamar Jackson is saying, hey, we're cutting all this crap out, mm-hmm. we're focusing on winning, and you got the 2-6 Giants, who are 2-6 basically every year, it's a national holiday, and you hear ping pong in the background as Dexter Lawrence is trying to explain why he shouldn't have been criticized by Giant legend Carl Banks, it just doesn't look good.
Right. You know, so like ping pong tables or games or any of that stuff, they're not inherently bad, but they tend to be, they tend to be disruptive because you just walk by and you're like, hey, you know, I'll play a game. Like, I'm heading in to go do something. I got to go look at whatever this play I messed up, and coach was telling me I got to go look at this play. And you're on your way to your locker room to get your playbook, and you're like, oh, you want to play ping pong? Oh, yeah, sure. And so it's not bad, but it can be distracting.
Yeah.
Because it takes away from what your focus sometimes should be. So I get it. I did not hear the ping pong tables in the back of Dexter Lawrence's quote.
I did. You know way better, but doesn't it also build camaraderie, though?
Yeah, but
you're doing tournament. It keeps the competition. Here's my issue, though. Yeah. The Ravens took away, like, five things. They were running a Dave and Buster. I think there's a difference in having a ping pong table and going, we got to get rid of this.
I think the Giants have that stuff, too.
Okay, well, then that's an issue. We boil it down to one thing.
It's not even an issue.
Because it's in the middle of the locker room. Like, there's a foosball table. There's, like, all that stuff. It's all there. It's right in the middle of the locker rooms.
It's not that it's an issue to me. It's that I'm just saying.
It's like, just, you know what it is? It's just that Lamar took the initiative to make it not be an issue.
Yeah, and when he's talking about it, and the Ravens are, hey, serious business, we're going to turn this season around. And meanwhile, on the same show, on the same day, in talking about the 2-6 Giants, and Dexter Lawrence is responding to criticism, you hear a ping pong table in the background. It looks bad. Just giving you an IFO response, but it just feels bad.
I don't think it looks bad or it feels bad. I think it's just how the captains of the Baltimore Ravens run the team.
Well, the Ravens are one of the most successful franchises.
And there's a reason. It's because, one, they have an MVP who's willing to do something that's probably unpopular, but is going to be supported 100%. Who's doing that for the Giants?
I don't know. I mean, who's the leader in that room? Maybe Dexter Lawrence himself. He would probably be the guy.
It's not even Dexter. It's just who's recognizing that we shouldn't have any distractions and we should focus on football only for the time being. When we start winning, you know what? Anything goes.
And it's probably better, I assume you agree with me, I'm asking to co-sign, that it comes from a player and not from the coaches.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, because when a coach says it, you resent it.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell? Come on, man. Now let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Eddie is in Bethpage. What's up, Eddie?
Listen, I think you have the Ohtani rule incorrect. It's the same as in the NCAA. They are two separate positions. You can remove him as the DH and put another player in at the DH, and he can still stay in as a pitcher. You can remove him as the pitcher and still stay in as the DH. You have to look it up, as Casey Stengel would say. They are two separate positions, so he could come in relief later on in the game as the pitcher, take the pitcher out. He can still stay in as the DH.
Oh, my God. I'm not disputing it, Eddie, because this is a new rule. This was a rule mm-hmm. literally written for Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
So you may be right. It's not like we have past history to dictate it. If you are right, and I am going to look it up, I am so disgusted by this sport.
Why?
That they literally wrote a rule for him.
Yeah. What was it before? Like, how was it?
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun.
Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Worded, or not even worded, but just how was it?
So many examples of it,
like policed, or I don't know, what were the machinations of it before?
If a designated hitter had to come in and play the field, usually because of injury,
right,
you lose the DH.
Right.
So and now the pitcher is inserted into the lineup.
Right. Giancarlo Stanton all of a sudden now has to go play right field. He's now the right fielder.
Correct.
And you lose the DH.
The DH is gone. And there's examples of it every year. It used to happen in the American League a bunch of times. Obviously, now both leagues have it.
Right.
And so once...
So who takes the DH spot?
The pitcher spot. The pitcher now hits.
Got it.
So years ago, for those that remember this, the Yankees played the Angels. So it's not that long ago. Right. In the early days of Ohtani, if you will, he was pitching for the Angels, and he got knocked out of the game in the first inning. And they had to take him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless he was moving to a position to keep his bat in the batting order.
Right, because he was DHing.
Well, he was the pitcher.
But he was also DHing.
Right. Well, I guess technically then he was just pitching.
Right.
And then that's it.
Oh, right. Because he was American League. Right.
So then they would then have to use pinch hitters for pitching spots for the rest of the game.
Yes.
So because of this player, this one player, they rewrote the rule. And what Eddie is saying... Right. Is that I brought up, hey, if Game 7 of the World Series happens on Saturday, would it not be one of the great moments in the history of the sport if Ohtani comes out of the bullpen? And I was even bringing up to you, yeah, but if he pitches and then they take him out, he can't bat. What Eddie's claiming is, no, it's two separate people. It's like fantasy where he gets to remain as the DH.
To be honest, that makes sense. So if he's the DH and he's also pitching and he comes out and they would substitute him for the DH, say they just want... I don't know, whoever, to pinch hit for him as the DH. And he's still pitching in the game. Why would you not be able to do that?
Yeah, so I'm looking up the rule right now. The problem is the first thing that comes up is AI, and I don't trust it.
Yeah.
So I literally have to go to the rule book.
Yeah, you're going to have to read through the rule book as it's written, and it's probably got 38 clauses.
Under the okay, this was when it was proposed, so I'm assuming this is what passed. Under the proposed rule, Ohtani or any other pitcher can serve as both the starting pitcher and DH in a given game.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is removed as pitcher after a few innings, he gets to stay in the lineup as a DH. The rule tweak was used in the 2021 All-Star game to allow Ohtani to stay in the game as DH, even though he was also the starting pitcher.
Okay, but it doesn't give the counter.
So no, it doesn't.
So if he's both the pitcher and the DH and he gets removed as the DH, what happens?
I got to find it.
So that's what Eddie was alluding to.
And it really is important only because this could happen in Game 7 of the World Series.
Right.
That's the only reason I'm bringing it up right now. Like,
right, because he'll be in the game as a DH. And if he's then replacing the pitcher, because the pitcher's not hitting, it's fine. Right? So he can still be the DH and he's still the pitcher. But if he then now loses, whatever, he pitches a third of an inning or two-thirds of an inning, he's just replaced as a pitcher, he's still the DH because he never left being the DH.
That's right. I just don't know how it works with the bullpen. So
that's kind of awesome.
I'm reading the rules. I still can't like find it definitively, but we'll hopefully have an answer before we get to Game 7.
I mean, it's an interesting question that should be asked.
Well,
especially maybe not tonight, but when they get to Game 6. Or six. Or
yeah,
seven.
I don't think they'll use him in six, but to your point, yes,
but
game seven.
But if the Dodgers win tonight and it's game six, and it's game six on
Friday night,
then that's an interesting like little nugget for whoever's doing the broadcast to talk about.
Yeah, because
that could come up.
I am assuming that he can't go from DH to pitcher back to DH, but which means I would have him close out the game, because then I won't have to worry about it.
I think the point is, if he's DH, he's just DH. It's separation of...
So he's a separate person?
He's a separate person. So if he comes in as the pitcher, he's just the pitcher.
Can you find the rule book, Sean, please, so we can just read it? I can't find it.
Yeah.
Thank you. And he's going to get mad at me when I find it myself in 5 minutes because it takes him too long.
That's why I'm not looking. I'm waiting for you to do it.
No, I've already tried, and it's difficult while doing the show, so just look it up. Let's go to Chris in Monmouth County. Hey, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. First off, Kiki, huge fan of yours. I appreciate all you did for the Giants organization.
Thank you.
Evan, I think you're having a rough show.
Tell me why.
I think Eddie got you on the rule. And then secondly, I 100% agree with Michael Jordan and 100% disagree with you. And here's why.
Go.
If you look back at the best athletes in the world that have played for many, many years, Tom Brady at quarterback, Serena Williams in tennis, Tiger Woods in golf, the game has changed. The game constantly evolves and changes. But those athletes adapt. If you think that Michael Jordan playing 5 to 10 more possessions a game in today's day and age in his prime would have affected him, you are absolutely out of your
mind. So why don't we do that backwards?
And that's
then.
All I got.
But we don't do that fairly. Like, what about backwards then? Like, now we live in a time, a culture of it's about winning a championship, and so we manage minutes and we manage games.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in now. So when you say Jordan would adjust to the new age of pace and hit more threes, you're right. He's one of the greatest. He is the greatest of all time.
He would have found a way.
But wouldn't he also then have to adjust to the world we live in of managing loads?
And that's not necessarily on him. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Thank you, SNY. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
What I ask Chris, and I ask anybody else, is I understand it's always a touchy subject when we're talking about the past and comparing it to today.
Yes.
And there's always going to be a bias towards what we grew up with. Is that energy of our last phone call, which is great, of Jordan would have adjusted. I completely agree with you. Have that same energy the other way. Could LeBron have played in the physical NBA of the 1990s? Yes, he would have adjusted, right? When there was no load management, would the modern player have adjusted? Yes. So I'll agree that in each era, the great player would have adjusted. That's not the argument. The argument I have is that when he sits there in his ivory tower saying, in my day we didn't do this, can we at least be open and talk about the differences in the sport? Not that he would have gladly sat down, but that it is very different. So let's just acknowledge that when we have these debates about the 90s or the 80s or the 2010s or the 2015s. Like, just acknowledge that the great player would adjust, but would they also have to give in to what's happening in that era?
I mean, I guess so, but I'm still on the side of Michael Jordan being that he, me or those in my era would not have stood for it. And so why can't the guys who don't want to be minute restricted, why don't they not stand for it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are they accepting it? And the only thing I can think of, to be perfectly honest with you, is that they are making so much money that it doesn't matter.
Maybe.
Sometimes they look at the regular season as, all right, yeah, as long as we're winning and we're doing, I don't really, I'm not worried about getting mine because I'm already paid.
And the funny thing is when Jordan tells that story, he said this a lot about, I don't know who's seeing me for the first time. That story means a lot to me because I was that guy.
Right.
I went, saw Michael Jordan for the very first time in a preseason game, 2001. It was a preseason game in his return. So his return year. I never saw him with the Chicago Bulls, never saw him in person. And it's nobody's fault. Like, it was expensive. My dad was like, we're going to drop $800 to see Michael Jordan at the Garden or the Meadowlands. So I saw him for the very first time. And you could look this up in a preseason game in 2001. Michael Jordan not only played that game against the New Jersey Nets at the old MCI Center, he dropped 40. And I remember walking out of that arena. The Nets won the preseason game, too.
Yeah.
I remember saying to myself, wow, I just saw Michael Jordan drop 40 points. And there's no doubt in my mind that Michael Jordan, as a 39-year-old, 40-year-old, however old he was upon his return, probably said to Doug Collins, I'm playing because there's thousands of people here tonight who've never seen me play, and I'm going to make this a night they never forget. And I will admit this, Michael Jordan made it a night I'd never forget. And it was, a preseason game. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate that Jordan felt that way.
Right.
I'm just trying to be honest about the differences in the sports. It's not like I have a bias one way or the other.
When was the Ohtani rule, by the way?
2022.
So the 2021 rule book is what I'm looking at, and it doesn't include anything regarding this.
Yeah, because I think it was for 2022.
So I need to find the 2022 rule book.
Yes. Now. Have you found it yet, Sean?
I think I'm right on the area here. There's a lot of words, but I'm in substitutions and pitching changes right now.
All right. We'll try to get the answer because it could depend on how Ohtani is used in Game 7 of the World Series.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.